The earth is warming, the birdsong increases, the sweeter breezes brush our cheeks, and the earth holds hope in its seeds and buds. Welcome, everyone, whether here in person or listening at a later date on a podcast. Welcome to Essex Church, home of Kensington Unitarians. We meet each week here and at other times for worship, to ponder life's great questions, to search for meaning and truth, and to celebrate our religious, spiritual, and secular diversity. For those who don't know me, my name is Janine, and I'll be leading this service this week whilst our minister, Sarah, is away. So come, let us gather this morning, however you arrive. Whether with joyful or sorrowful noise, with warm or aching hearts, with troubled mind or hopeful spirits, for we are one with the renewal of the earth and blessedly held in the love of one another. Our chalice, our symbol of our liberal and inclusive faith, will now be lit, as it is in so many congregations across the continents of our world, with these words by Paul Harrison.
As we light this flame, let us remember that we came from fire. From the first explosion of the universe into light, from the first ignition of our sun's burning, creating the first day out of night, from the heat of Earth's magma churning, from the warmth of desire turning love into life.
Spirit of life and love, light within and without, mystery from which we have all emerged, be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and stillness at the centre of our being. As people of faith, we seek to live in a spirit of love, a spirit of community, justice, and peace. And yet, in so many corners of the world, both far and near, we see divisiveness and hate. If we look deep within ourselves, perhaps we will even find those shadow energies there too. We struggle to respond to the outer world and our inner dramas in ways that manifest love. We may struggle to hold on to our faith in love, knowing that if all things come from the one source we proclaim, that source must somehow hold hate as well as love, violence as well as peace, evil as well as good. This is the mystery within which we live and die. These are the questions that haunt our days and nights, and yet we are not without hope. Hope carried in our own silent prayers and loving thoughts that we'll send during a moment's silence to the people and places which need it today. Our struggles, our prayers, and our questions testify to our longing for peace, for love. In the stillness and silence of our own heart, we read the imprint of love, created not by our own will, but planted there for us to discover, by whom or what we cannot know, and yet it is there. A clue, a talisman, a beacon, a light within. May it keep hope alive, even as we dwell in mystery. May it guide us all as we seek to act wisely and well. May it help us to be vessels of companionship for one another and for our world. Amen. We have two short readings now. The first, which Michaela will read, is an extract from William Ellery Channing's sermon he gave about Christian worship at a church in Newport in 1836. Juliet will then read a more recent extract from Unitarian Universalism in a New Key, written by a former president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, William Schultz.
So, this is from Christian Worship. My first liberty was used in roaming over the neighboring fields and shores, and amid this glorious nature, that love of liberty sprang up, which has gained strength in me to this hour. I early received impressions of the great and the beautiful, which I believe have had no small influence in determining my modes of thought and habits of life. In this town, I pursued for a time my studies of theology. I had no professor or teacher to guide me, but I had two noble places of study. One was yonder beautiful edifice, now so frequented and so useful as a public library, then so deserted that I spent day after day, and sometimes week after week, amidst its dusty volumes, without interruption from a single visitor. The other place was yonder beach, the roar of which has often mingled with the worship of this place, my daily resort, dear to me in the sunshine, still more attractive in the storm. Seldom do I visit now without thinking of the work which there, in the sight of this beauty, in the sound of those waves, was carried on in my soul. No spot on earth has helped to form me so much as that beach. There I lifted up my voice in praise amidst the tempest. There, softened by beauty, I poured out my thanksgiving and contrite confessions. There, in reverential sympathy with the mighty power around me, I became conscious of power within. There, struggling thoughts and emotions broke forth, as if moved to utterance by nature's eloquence with the winds and waves. There began a happiness surpassing all worldly pleasures, all gifts of fortune, the happiness of communing with the works of God.
Hundreds of years ago, St. Lawrence asked, "Whom should I adore, the Creator or creation?" Most Western religions have answered back, "Adore the Creator," and supplied an image, Zeus, Jehovah, Christ, to be adored. But our answer is far different. Whom should we adore? The creation, surely. For whatever there be of the Creator will be made manifest in her handiwork. God, said Mr. Rowe, dwells in the details. The divine for us, whatever its in essence be, is not confined to a transcendent realm, its ramparts guarded by scholarly by the scholarly elite. On the contrary, the holy is made manifest to every one of us, not just those who can recite the catechism. In the transaction of every day, it's made manifest to every one of us. It lies curled, in other words, in the very bosom of experience. This is a fundamental departure from religion's preoccupation with abstraction. It's not a distant, mysterious God to whom we make appeal, or even the cold vagaries of progress, evolution, creativity, or history. The gods and goddesses, or if you prefer, the most precious and profound, are accessible to us in the taste of honey and the touch of a stone. And this is why we love the earth, honour the human body, and bless the stars. Religion is not a matter of things unseen. For us, the holy is not hidden, but shows its face in the blush of the world's exuberance.
We have some words now to lead us into a time of shared silence and meditation. And these words are by Richard Gilbert and are very much a blessing, which speaks about the sacredness of the earth and all that's a part of it. As always, feel free to listen to these words or allow your mind to wander as it wishes. At the end of the words, we'll have a few minutes of silence, and that will be ended by a chime from our Tibetan bowl. So I invite you to get comfortable as you can in your chairs, maybe softening your gaze or closing your eyes as you wish. Blessed are the heavens, for they declare the power of creation. Blessed is the earth, our beloved home, for she is a planet of plenitude. Blessed are the waters thereon, for they give rise to living things. Blessed is the land, for it is the source of life abundant. Blessed is the air we breathe, for it fires us to life and love. Blessed are the beasts of the field, for they are glorious to behold. Blessed are the birds of the air, for they carve a graceful arc in the sky. Blessed are the mountains and the seas and the valleys, for their variety makes rich our habitat. Blessed are the fields of grain, the orchards of fruit, for they give sustenance, asking nothing in return. Blessed are the dwellers on earth, for they cherish the privilege of living upon it. Blessed are they who protect the earth and all her creatures, from the plants of the field to the trees of the forest, for their reward shall be harmony with the web of existence. Rejoice and be glad, for the earth and her people are one. The theme of nature is something I find I keep coming back to, whether when leading a heart and soul service or contributing at the equinoxes and solstices and other services here. So I was really pleased when Sarah, Jane and I decided on the topic of the earth and the natural world for our theme this month. It's given me an opportunity to look up some things and revisit earlier facts I'd come across for various reasons regarding nature itself being considered as sacred. And I'll start and share with you a few facts I found out about pantheism before mentioning other traditions. The World Pantheist Movement is the largest organisation of pantheists across the globe and was started in the late 1990s by Paul Harrison, who wrote the words we heard when we lit our chalice today. Pantheism takes various forms and leanings, from scientific or natural pantheists, monist and dualist pantheists, classical pantheists, and those mixing pantheism with other religions. Part of the belief statement on their website reads this: "We are an integral part of nature, which we cherish, revere, and preserve in all its magnificent beauty and diversity. We strive to live in harmony with nature locally and globally. We acknowledge the inherent value of all life, human and non-human, and we treat all living beings with compassion and respect." Maybe that statement resonates with you in some way. I know it resonates with me. As we heard, some people mix pantheism with other religious beliefs and practices. And a further look on their site revealed a whole section of resources, especially for Unitarian Universalist pantheist groups. One of the resources was a sermon by Laura Lyons, and here are a couple of extracts from that. She says, "Too often it seems like spiritual is put in some kind of higher realm than the natural or physical, even in most current nature-based practices. I think that's difficult to avoid when adopting a nature-based spirit religion when we've been raised in a Judeo-Christian culture that sees spirit and physical as very different, even polar opposites. Thus, discerning the spirit of a plant, animal, or a place often becomes more valuable and desirable than just revering the animal or place just for being." She continues, "But with natural pantheism, the spiritual and physical can truly rationally be one and the same, just as modern physics has concluded that matter and energy are really just one thing." Upon reflection, what she writes there echoes part of this quote from the Pantheist website, which says, "At the heart of pantheism is reverence for the universe as the ultimate focus for reverence, and for the natural earth as sacred." These views fascinate me. The acknowledgement of nature being celebrated for what it naturally does, its mystery, uniqueness, and its beauty. Not as a tool for a supreme creator god, but as and of itself. As Frank Lloyd Wright, a famous American architect, wrote and quoted, as on your order of service, he said, "I believe in God, only I spell it nature." And it's not the only tradition to do so. As many indigenous and native peoples' beliefs and lifestyles pay testament to, as illustrated in this poem by the late Native American chief, native rights activist and actor Chief Dan George. He writes, "The beauty of the trees, the softness of the air, the fragrance of the grass speaks to me. The summit of the mountain, the thunder of the sky, the rhythm of the sea speaks to me. The faintness of the stars, the freshness of the morning, the dewdrop of the flower speaks to me. The strength of fire, the taste of salmon, and the trail of the sun and the life that never goes away, they speak to me, and my heart soars." This sense of one's heart soaring and an acknowledged interrelationship between oneself and their natural surroundings is echoed in the first reading which we heard, in which William Channing wrote of the impact and connection he felt to the beach and ocean during his time studying theology. He wrote, "I poured out my thanksgiving and contrite confessions there in reverential sympathy with the mighty power around me. I became conscious of the power within." This love, reference, sense of awe and sacredness of nature is part and parcel of nature worship and earth religion, which from my investigating is like an umbrella term for so many religious, spiritual and devotional practices, which focus on the person's connection to this sacred nature and universe. Just as pantheism can come under this umbrella, so can aspects of Shinto, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, shamanism, animism, Wicca and paganism. Nature worship can include worshipping many, many things, from natural phenomena such as lightning, auroras in the sky, the stars and planetary movements, to fire, sacred groves, particular trees, mountains, stones and animals. Even what we call natural disasters, for different groups of people for millennia, have been seen as evidence that the spirit of nature should be honoured or appeased. And secularly, a couple of weeks ago on the 22nd of April, it was Earth Day, and the internet search engine Google acknowledged this by collaborating with Dr. Jane Goodall, who spent her life studying and protecting our environment. They made a short animation, which you can find on YouTube if you wanted to watch, of a message which she wanted to share with the citizens of the world. In a part of this, she shared this following short story. "There was a moment when I was in Gombe National Park and it began to pour with rain, and then the rain stopped. And I could smell the smell of the wet hair on the chimpanzees, And I could hear the insects singing loudly, and I just felt absolutely at one. And it was a sense of awe and wonder. Dr. Jane Goodall's words there. For many, and you might find yourselves is one of these, being outdoors, being in nature can be so affirming, balancing and healing to the body, mind, spirit, and emotions. And even if that's all that we take from it, its healing sense, I think that that's worth holding in the highest regard. The second reading that we heard contained the question, whom should we adore, the creator or the creation? William Schultz's answer was, the creation surely, for whatever there be of the creator will be made manifest in her handiwork. For me, like William Schultz, my answer is also the creation surely. But what for you? As I draw this address to a close, in true Unitarian fashion, I'll offer you the same question to ponder over tea and coffee or at your leisure. Whom should we adore? The creator or the creation? The choice is yours. So may it be. Amen. As we go forth from this sacred space, may we celebrate Earth and our shared lives. May we recognize our connections to all that is in and on the Earth. May we truly and deeply value the inherent worth of all. In this awesome, interconnected web of existence, may we commit ourselves to a new way, and may we hold our commitments and each other gently, yet firmly. May you go in peace, and blessed be. Amen.